Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Don't You Know Who I Am, brought to you by Patreon subscribers Scott Davis, Carter Mack and Jenny Zahn. If you would also like to subscribe to the Patreon, head over to patreon.com/dykwia, where you can get a whole bunch of bonus episodes. Every week now, I'm doing a Patreon-only podcast called Top 5, where me and a friend, me and a guest, count down our top 5 items of a subject of either the guest choosing or the listener choosing. So head over to patreon.com/dykwia. I should mention a very, very funny one coming out this Monday with Kyron Wheatley, where we talk about the top 5 uses for potatoes. It's very good. Very, very good. So that is for Patreon subscribers at the $5 or more level. If you can't afford that, but you want to help out, you can also go to iTunes, leave a 5-star rating, leave a review, or just share it amongst all your friends, families, anyone on social media that you want to share the podcast with. That's always a big help. Anyway, enough from me. Enjoy this episode. Episode 206 with Tom Walker, Nikki Britton, Tom Cashman, and Alistair Trombley-Virtual. Hello and welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast that asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. My name is Josh Earl, and this week on the internet I discovered I share my name with a ghostwriter for a man named Perry Marshall. And Perry opens up his testimonial for Josh Earl by stating, "I have a reputation in the marketing world as the guy who writes the best emails in the business." It's a weird brag there, Perry. That's a...
huge.
Yeah. Anyway, if this is your first time listening to the podcast, what I do, I get 4 very funny people and I quiz them all about their lives. So let's meet them now. Our first guest shares his name with the CEO of the company DroneUp, a Virginian drone company. Can you please welcome, it's Tom Walker, everyone. Yay.
Hello.
Oh,
an honor to be back on Zoom, fellas. Thank you so much for having me.
I was not going to let the audience know that we're recording this on Zoom. I was going to see, just wait for the angry... like Twitter notification saying, how come the audio doesn't seem to match up in one certain point? But yeah. Hey, yeah. There's lots of Tom Walkers.
So many.
Do you know about this drone dude?
No. The main one I'm aware of is the there's Tom Walker, the musician,
yes,
who constantly radio stations in Jamaica tag me instead of him to let me know they're playing his songs. And also there's Tom Walker who portrays Jonathan Pye, newscaster, satirist, and also comedian. So it's like, it's very rankling to have someone with a larger following than me opt to perform comedy not under the Tom Walker name, but still, yeah, I don't know, maybe it's the name that's
and then and then succeed.
Yeah,
he's doing so good. And he's fucking funny. He actually says stuff like you wouldn't believe it.
Just also, also joining us is a comedian who shares her name with a Memphis kindergarten teacher. Can you please welcome back to the podcast? That's Nikki Britton. Yeah.
Wow. I hope that the kindergartners are not hearing you getting confused and being like, look, Miss is on the internet, and then watching my comedy, because that would be not suitable for kids.
No, you need the numbers. Get that bump. Get that Memphis kindergarten bump.
That's true. It's a huge crowd, yeah. The Memphis kindergartners.
Also, our next guest shares his name with the owner of the Arizona Cabinet Door Store. Can you please welcome back to the podcast? It's Tom Cashman. Yay.
Yay, Tom.
Yay.
I wasn't familiar with that one. A door store.
A cabinet door store. Not even a door store. He's even
I've
more
gotten
niche.
Even more specific.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to... My most famous namesake is an Irish hurler from the 60s.
Oh.
You spot him?
No, he doesn't have a LinkedIn for hurling.
Oh, my God.
This one is the CEO of the company, though. And finally, is a man who is the only person in the world who has his name. So when that happens, what I do is I check out their IMDb star rating. And I've got good news this week, ATB.
Yeah.
You've risen 500,000 star points in this week alone.
That's huge.
That is massive. God. Can you please welcome from Two in the Think Tank and Mad as Hell, it's Alistair Trombley-Birchall. Yay.
Thank you. Thank you. Do you know how the algorithm works on that? Is it just one person clicked on my thing?
I don't know how it works because it's like it goes up. It fluctuates so much. Like you either drop down like 200,000 points or you go up. I checked mine. This week I went down only 600 points though.
Congratulations on... I don't know your lowest fall.
Yeah, I don't know what it means, though. I don't know what it means.
Alistair, you need to check under your feet for red carpet, baby, because you're headed to Tinseltown.
Oh, it's right there. Wait, I realize it's not a video podcast and nobody can see me actually acting out.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah, great.
Listening, it was pretty funny.
Hey, Tom Cashman, are you in like a soundproof booth or something? Looks
correct. No one else. It's very exclusive to this geographical location, what I'm saying. I'm in like a co-working space where they have little booths.
Ah,
so I'm in one of them.
Nice.
Yeah, good call by Josh to just nail down whether or not Tom has a soundproofed room in his house.
No, I'm really getting into podcasting recently. I've had some construction work done.
Yeah.
People say it's an overspend, right? I think it's appropriate.
Hey, our first game tonight is called Social Me Media. We'll read out status updates by the four of you. And if you think you know who wrote it, you buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. You get a point if you get it right, a point to the person who actually wrote it. If you're incorrect, you can't buzz in for your own ones. So poker faces on. Here we go. Oh, so Tom Walker and Tom Cashman have decided that you'll say your surnames. Is that cool?
Perhaps I could buzz in with Walker and then and the other Tom could do Cashman.
It'd be an honour to say Cashman if we can keep that simple.
Let's just stick with my plan. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Question one. Who wrote this? I'm up to, what even is kissing? Did I ever enjoy that? Gross days of self-isolation.
Trombley-Birchall.
Yes, Alistair.
Nikki Britton.
You are correct. Yes, a point there for Al. Yes.
Oh, no, Tom Cashman is also single. I was going to say I'm the only tragically single person on this podcast.
Nikki, I've got some bad news.
You're dating Tom Cashman.
Are you, do you have a sweet lady friend now?
Oh, yeah.
You have a sweet lady friend.
Hence the soundproof booth.
Exactly. Yeah, she's a real...
Yeah,
I'm scared of her. Booth in my house. That's the real reason.
Well, that's a rough way to find out that... Yeah, that's just me, guys. Just me. Don't even understand physical contact with other humans at this point. But what are you... how fun is it? I'm finding out about myself. That's good.
Well, I'm interested in this, though. Will you kiss hello in the future now because of this whole... like COVID-19.
I'll fucking make out with someone now as a hello. Yeah. I'll put my face on there. Oh, everywhere.
Because I'm putting on record, I will not shake hands anymore. I'm done with shaking hands.
Really?
I didn't like it to begin with. And now I'm like, you know what? I don't need to. Don't need to shake hands.
You're going
to
elbow bump?
No, I'll just say hello. I'll look him in the eye and say, hello, how are you? Nice to meet you.
Has it always been about germs, handshake?
For most of it, it's this show of dominance that a lot of men do by trying to go over and really, and that whole thing of I judge a man by how they shake hands. I'm like, nah, I can't be bothered with it anymore.
I think we need to bring back curtsying.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that.
Start curtsying.
I'll show.
Men need to start wearing some sort of some wider pants, maybe, to allow us to bring in the baggies.
You're right about not having enough fabric to curtsy.
Happy spot on. Doff my cap at them if I'm wearing a hat. They bring that.
Yeah. Or just like admit that it's kind of polarizing and either go really far towards affection, like Nikki, just go make out, or just full on slap in the face.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to stop greeting people. Just no more hellos.
All right, so a point there for Al. Okay, next one. My favorite part of every EDM song is when it sounds like they went into the next room and you're like, wait, come back, and then they do.
Tom Walker?
Yes, Tom Walker.
Yeah. I think that's going to be Tom Cashman.
You are correct. Yes, a point there for Tom Walker, yes.
Oh. Yay.
I thought someone was calling out Tom Walker as the answer, and I was like, yes, I approve that. It's Tom Walker just answering the question.
I think that's very that tweet is too cerebral for me. It's observed something and then made a statement on it. Whereas most of my tweets are like, hey, it would be sick if your dick was long enough for you to step on it yourself. Like, it's just nonsense. It's awful.
I beat yourself up, Tom. That's pretty cerebral.
I would love to beat myself up if my dick was long enough for me to step on it. As soon as you got to pay someone.
Question 3. How come girls have so many sex toys, but all us guys have is tying a rope around our dicks, tying that rope to a doorknob, and then slamming the door till it pulls off?
Based on what's just occurred, I've given it a bit of a think, and I'm going to have to lock in Tom Walker for that one.
You are correct. A point there for Tom Cashman. And that was just, that was how it was the script. I didn't bump it forward. I just went off the script. I read it out, had it laid. Like, yeah. Very good, though. At least you know your brand, Tom Walker. That's a good thing. A lot of people come on this show and they discover their brand. You know it.
I feel like I just self-harmed.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, let's keep going.
All right. Question 4. I had my bottom vertebrae removed so I can suck my own bum.
Nikki, Britain.
Yes, Nikki.
I feel like it's got to be Alistair.
You are correct. Yes, yet. But that's not how I played the game. But that is how it is today. Yeah, point there for Nikki. Yeah.
Oh, ATB. How do you go?
It was pretty good. It was more flavorful than I thought.
I don't know if you follow Al on Twitter. He quite often likes to write in a bit of a, like, has a theme. So there's a bit of a theme. You've done a lot of playing on this, removing a rib so you can suck your insert. So one of them was I had a rib removed so I could suck my own rib. That well, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's my favorite. Yeah. I saw Thanks. That, I think.
Thanks. Yeah, I think sometimes you just want to do a variation on one of those that feels like it could be iconic. You know, I don't think I've got there yet, but... You know, that's the dream. That's my Everest.
Yeah.
Is to, you know, get something in the I removed my own rib so I could suck a blank Pantheon.
Because Tim Clark is working on the, why don't they make the whole plane out of the black box recorder? Mm. He does a lot of that.
I love that one too.
Yeah.
Why don't they make the whole plane out of the rib so it can suck its own jet engine?
That's it. Hello, we're there.
Oh, here we go. The backlog's like going to get on the Mount Rushmore.
Such a powerful dunk.
Have you ever played with the McDonald's burger, the McRib? Have you ever removed?
I've not tried that yet. No.
Maybe there you go.
And what would you suck then? I guess the delicious barbecue sauce off of your fingers?
Maybe.
It's just an ad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listeners of the podcast, like, keep an eye on ATB's Twitter feed. You might have seen the behind the curtain here.
I'm so unsure as to whether to bring this up. I guess we can edit it out, but I actually have the I had a rib removed to suck my own rib. That was in Bebu, my show that I ended up recording for ABC.
My
gosh. So it's like, I think it's one of those riffs that's like, it's a good one. But, you know, there's no new ideas under the sun, and I'm sure I wasn't the first person to make it.
I apologize. And it's always the risk.
As you should, you pathetic little worm.
No, you're right. And trust me, you are, I'm not worthy and all that. And,
okay. Can someone move Alasdair's window below me in the Zoom chat?
It's the problem. It's the problem.
Is it normal to have beef this early, Josh? This is crazy.
Well, it is when you have the McRib. Hey.
It's the problem with just taking the ingredients that are already within the setup and trying to vary the joke like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why I won't make any jokes about sucking my own dick. You know, it's just dangerous.
And Nikki, and this is why you're alone.
That's
true. I'm so sorry.
You gotta learn to suck it.
All right, question 5. This is all in caps. Scorpions are the sequel to crabs.
Alistair.
Yes, Alistair.
Tom Walker.
You are correct, yes. And put another point there for Al, yes.
That's good stuff right there. It's almost like you study his material and take what you like.
It's closer than you would ever imagine.
Question 6. I am a masterclass of subtlety.
Alistair.
I heard Cashman first.
Okay. Oh, well, I was going to say Alistair, but you wouldn't go in if it was yours. I'm going to go Nikki.
You are correct. Here's a point there for Tom Cashman. Yeah.
I think I've tweeted maybe 3 times this year.
Yeah.
So
yep. And they're going to all be in this. You've got them all in here, be in Josh. Here. But this one was a picture one.
Twitter's not my platform. But that's okay. I mean, you know, we've all got our groove.
It's fine.
Sorry, guys.
You're actually.
It has been a lot of self-reflection during this pandemic period.
But this was
self-forgiveness.
Like a retweet with your comment on it, but it was like the comedy festival put like 9 images of you all in different facial expressions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was, they were doing some truth telling there, weren't they?
I mean, whoever is doing the social media of the comedy festival was really doing some things at the minute. They had their, which room would you like to be in? Which was great. That was a real, who's going to kill each other first?
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
Who do you want to be away for on a week with on a weekend or something?
Which room would you want to self isolate with? And it was like 6 other comics. I'm like going, all these comics I know have like absolute hatred for each other. It's great.
That's what you just call tour.
Yeah,
That's all being on a tour is. It's just grabbing a shred of sanity.
And the other
it's
one,
a tough gig, isn't it? Because there's no comedy going on.
Yeah.
So the person who's doing the socials doesn't have any actual thing to use as content. But then all the comedians have nothing to do except look at the social media and judge their posts.
Like there was
the worst time.
What was the other one the other day? It was like headliner, MC, support one, support two, support three. And I'm like, this social media person, they just want to read the name Carl Barron all day. That's all they want to do today. They just want to read people comment Carl Barron.
Why don't you get Carl Barron on this?
I know. I should. Yeah. I should get him.
No, he's really good. He's one of the best. He used to be on the Footy Show a lot. It was great.
Question 7. I think it's time this came out. Marsupials are an Australian lie to tell gullible American tourists. Kangaroos are just adult rabbits.
Cashman.
Yes, Cashman.
Alistair?
You are correct. Another point there for Cashman, yeah. Yes.
I'm sorry, everybody.
It's very funny having like our tweets read out and all of us just sitting there silently. And I guess the real test is if it's funny enough to get a laugh through our concentration. But as it is a heartbreaking exercise in the futility of the platform.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's tough.
You went really far back for that as well. That was.
I've just recently discovered the advanced Twitter search function where you can just put in the person's name and then put retweets minimum 50. And then my thinking is I just get to the good stuff.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that silence tells you something else, doesn't it?
All right, question 8. A world where nobody has ever heard of the film Yesterday except me, and I rewrite the script and take it to a movie studio and they tell me to fuck off.
Tom Walker.
Yes, Tom Walker.
That's a Cashman.
That is a Tom Cashman. Yes, a point there for Tom Walker, yeah.
I know, because he loves the film Yesterday.
Have you seen the film Yesterday?
I have not. But
I haven't
it's a
either.
Ludicrous premise.
Isn't it? Yeah.
I do not like it. I do not like it one bit.
Also, it's like it tells you everything in the trailer. I know that's a very boring thing to talk about, like, but it is like what else is there to – okay, so you know all the songs. When do you release them all? Like do you just go to the record label and go, hey, I've got 400 songs, or do you just go, all right, I'll just release – Yesterday first and then let it be and then I'll
totally
hold back.
I also just don't agree with it working from like a time travel perspective, because if the Beatles never existed, then popular music would have taken a completely different course. And so if you at this point 40 years on or 50 years on or something came to that, it would just like wouldn't be good. People wouldn't like it. It would be a different reality.
Maybe that's what the film is about.
Plus also,
if it was,
I mean, I also haven't seen the movie, but I assume that it doesn't take into account how difficult it is to become to do well in the world.
Totally.
Discovered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just the fact that you can write a bunch of songs. And
thankfully, he's
well.
Also hot.
Oh, is it great?
That's the real movie. An ugly guy who has written
songs. In a, like, say, a TV sitcom, say, the same, like, same premise, but with the TV show Seinfeld, if you went, all right, in the year 2020, hey, I've got this idea for a show. It's a multi-camera sitcom. And it's about just and nothing happens. You go, that's not how it's going to work. I'm sorry, you're not going to get on.
You've memorized every episode,
yeah.
And you are you go to a studio and then you say, look, I'm you know I know none of the people who were in the show existed, but we'll get I don't know, the guy I don't know, an actor. Forget it. I couldn't riff at all. I couldn't riff.
Yeah, hate to see someone come up empty-handed.
Yeah.
All right. Next question. The ocean is home to many of the Earth's wettest animals.
Nikki Britton.
Yes, Nikki.
Oh, it's Tom Walker.
You are correct. Yes, a point there for Nikki. Yeah.
It's true. Yeah.
It was either ATV or Walker, and then Walker's face really gave it away. No secrets there.
It's weird because it's like it's from an era. It's weird going that far back in time with Twitter because you're like, oh god, those fucking jokes, they stick around.
I'm sorry.
They shouldn't, but like the stuff that you remember getting like a few retweets for them, it like, you know, just giving you that little bit of serotonin to get through the day.
Yeah.
But now it's just stuck there.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's like finding and a like, condom that you forgot to throw away or something. Like,
what's good changes? Yeah. So like, yeah, you're being judged. By it's almost similar to the Beatles being released at a different time to have a tweet read out years later.
All right, and our last question for this round. I thought Easter was a direction you yell at someone when they're going too west.
Tom Walker?
Yes, Tom Walker.
That seems like it's Alasdair Tremblay Birchall.
You are correct. Yes, a point there for Tom Walker. Yes.
I like
some distinct brands in the chat today.
Yeah. It's a good joke. Has this made its way to the stage, Al?
It hasn't, no. But I've definitely attempted it one more time on Easter, and it went even worse. So.
Well, there you go, Tom. You can take that one for your next
show. That joke bombed on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, it's
that's rough.
This is the brand that's shining through. If you were wondering what it was.
Damn.
Hey, at the end of the first round, the scores are ATB on 2 points, Nikki Britton on 2 points, Tom Walker on 3 points, and also on 3 points is Tom Cashman. Ooh, it's nice and close.
Hello.
Yeah. I like it. All right, this round is called 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Now we've all had jobs. Sometimes they're great. Sometimes they're not so great. And this time we're going back to talk about a moment that has stayed with us. And today we're talking about Nikki Britton. Now, Nikki used to work as a child's entertainer. But what happened one day that very much impressed the adults at the party? Was it A, unbeknownst to Nikki, she was performing very close to a bull ant's nest. And during the performance, she started to get bitten. She then poured a cup of lemonade on her leg, which washed away the ants. And she performed for another 10 minutes without breaking a stride. She then ended the show. The parents were all so impressed, rushed her inside so she could put some ice on it. So that's A. B, Nikki had a seizure, and when she came to, everyone broke out into a round of applause. That's B. Or C, one of the grandparents fell asleep in their chair and quite clearly shat themselves. In a bit of quick thinking, Nikki decided that all the kids had to then go on a treasure hunt. The whole time, Nikki was thinking, what could this treasure be, when she decided after about 10 minutes of looking for the treasure that the treasure would be fresh air. Now, one of these is true. You can ask Nikki as many questions as you want, but bear in mind she wants you to get it wrong, so she gets your point. The floor is open for questions. Ask away.
Nikki, do you have epilepsy?
I don't have epilepsy, no.
Great to hear.
Congrats.
Yeah.
Are the bull ants, they were only part of option A, the ants?
Yes, just A.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
All right. Sorry, my girlfriend just entered the room. She asks to be mentioned on the pod, and she says hello to everyone. That's Demi Lardner.
Hello, Demi. Hey,
Demi.
Lardner.
Demi.
They all say hello back, Demi.
Do you want to tap in, Demi? You can do a round.
Yeah, here, Demi, do you want to tap in?
Yeah.
You can do a round?
Yeah.
All right, here's all Demi. Right.
Cool.
Hey, Demi.
Who is it?
It's Josh Earl
Nikki,
here.
Tom Cashman, Alasdair Tremblay Birchall.
Yeah! Hello.
Hi.
Yay. What's up? Hey, mate.
Hey, here I come.
We're just asking Nikki questions. When she was entertaining children, something happened where all the adults burst into applause. Was it she got bit by bull ants, she had a seizure, or a grandparent fell asleep and shat themselves and Nikki took all the kids outside? So one of those is true.
And are we discussing?
You're discussing. You're asking questions.
I like the idea of applause happening in any of these contexts.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it's applause, I would go with the seizure.
I mean, the seizure, I feel like to watch a performer get bitten by bull ants, do nothing, kind of impliedly insist that they push through it, and then only at the end when they've done their job, then applaud, is like psychopathic.
Is there an option for all three? Is it some kind of ant-induced shitting seizure?
So hang on, in the third one, is the premise that the shit smelt so bad that you accompanied all the kids away to a place where...
No, she's told me the story. It's the opposite. The shit smelled so good. All the kids were real hungry.
She wanted it all for herself.
Damn it,
you're killing right away.
Oh, God. Off the bat. It was more about dignity for the grandparent, you know? Like, slowly people were like, oh, what? This, you know what kids are like.
Did they know? Did the old person know, or were they unconscious?
Well, they were still asleep, so they sort of...
How did you know it was happening? Was it visually clear?
It wasn't visually clear at first, but the parents, like, you know, the kids started saying things, and the parents were all bubbling around talking to each other. And I could see, like, you know, as we were moving around playing games and stuff, I was getting close to the grandparent, and I was like, oh no, I think I know what's happened here. So I think I figured it out as the parents figured it out, and we all kind of went, oh, cool, I'll take him outside.
And then, though,
give a little bit of dignity to grandpa.
In the question, it was said that the big surprise for the children was fresh air, which is obviously what you were trying to achieve by creating this game. But could you not think of a different ending to tell the children, or did you actually tell the children that the big ending of the thing was fresh air?
It was like freedom. Like, we've got free from the cave that we were looking for the treasure in. Yay. Forget about the treasure, guys. You all get lolly bags. That's your treasure.
Nikki, what kind of seizure was it? If it was
that's what I was gonna
epileptic.
Say.
Well, it was
it was a lying seizure. It was the kind where you're lying.
Yeah, one of those ones where you're on a podcast and you don't think of what to say because number three is true.
It was, I get really low blood pressure, and I can somehow sometimes pass out or sweat profusely on other podcasts, e.g. Tom Cashman and Sam Twonson's last week. And totally off topic. Anyway, I sometimes, if I pass out, I have a seizure, and
yeah, right. That's crazy.
And then, but so in that situation, you had a seizure, and then what? Did they try and help you, or?
Well, they thought that it was part of the show.
Uh-huh.
yeah, because I was actually, it was a birthday party, but I was playing a mad scientist character, and I was doing one of the experiments, and the experiment I needed to hold my breath for a long time, and then I was a little bit hungover anyway, I was young, and I passed out and had a seizure, and I actually fell forward on all fours and sort of was seizing with my head going everywhere, and they thought that it was an incredible commitment to character.
And so you managed to be unconscious and just stay on all fours like an animal?
From what I understand, yeah.
Because you're not conscious during this.
I was not conscious.
I don't know whether she managed that. I think it did happen to her. This wasn't through effort.
Yeah, right. maybe number three is true and she got applause, and number two is true, but it was just a sad day.
yeah, it's number three.
Do people think they know, are going to lock in?
Yeah.
What have doctors said about your seizure problem?
I thought it was cool, cool enough for applause.
Nothing specific.
It hasn't really been a problem much. I haven't seen doctors about it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Hey, she got applause.
Just a little shake.
What was the first one again?
The bull ants. Yeah, how much did the bull ants hurt? That would hurt a lot. Why didn't you stop the performance?
So much. But like it's like a heat pain. It's like a burning sting mixed together pain. And I didn't realize there was a bit of a delay, so I could feel there were ants on me, but I didn't think that they were going to sting me. I was just kind of brushing them off, which turns out was really pissing them off. And so do not induce fury in a bull ant. And they, yeah, like, I thought that I'd brush them all off, but they must have stung and there was like a delay to the feeling. And so it was excruciating and my leg was like red. And then we poured cold lemonade and or like cold water, cold lemonade was the only thing that eased it.
What did the doctor say about that? You get so many leg injuries. You get more leg injuries than anyone I've ever met.
I am famous for a leg injury. That's what I do.
So what are people thinking? People think A, B, or C. We'll go with ATB first. What do you think, Al?
I'm going to say C.
You're going to go C. We're going to lock in at C. It was the grandparents shat themselves. We'll go Tom Cashman now.
I'm going to go with the seizure. I'm going to go with the bull ants.
You're going to go with the bull ants. Okay, A. And team Lardner-Walker, what are we going with here?
I was going to change it to bull ants, actually, after seeing you talk about it.
Yeah, I don't know. But Nikki not going to the doctor for the seizure strikes me as very on brand.
Very
she
Nikki
wants
Britain,
that.
Yeah.
She wants to have that guaranteed round of applause closer in her back pocket.
All right, seizure.
You're going to go B, seizure. The correct answer was seizure B.
You motherfuckers.
Oh, what a delight. Thanks, guys. Love you. Bye.
Thanks, Demi.
What a cameo.
Comes in, scores 100%, leaves.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
So, 2 points there, though, for Nikki, 1 point for Tom. So, you had a seizure.
Yeah, it was. I was like a mad scientist character, and this experiment you had to do, you had like a, you know, a beaker that has like a flask beaker that has the neck in it.
Yep.
And you had a peeled boiled egg in it, and the experiment was to.
And then you put that in a big bottle of seizure juice.
Pretty much. You blow into the flask, and the air pressure like pops out the smooth coated egg, and it's like, wow, air pressure. Anyway, I was drinking heavily the night before because I was in my 20s, and I held this up and like was leaning back and blowing, and the experiment wasn't working. And the kids were like, what is this fucking shit? It's scientist. And I was like, don't worry, kids, I'll make it work. And I just blew for so long, and I just started like seeing sparkles. And then I remember hearing the clang of the flask on the ground. It didn't break. It just bounced. And then I woke up on all fours and my head just going like literally my head going like this. And like I was, anyway, the parents were like, oh my God. And the mum tipped me at the end. She was like, I mean, you such a commitment to character. That was incredible. No one realised.
You are.
I didn't even realise. I came to and I was like, like I could hear the clapping before I could see anything, and I was like, "What's happening?"
The Daniel Day-Lewis of child's entertainment. It's very good.
Why would the character get on all fours?
And why would the character have a seizure?
She was mad. She was a mad epileptic scientist.
Oh,
I mean,
cool.
You know.
At the end of the round, that was scores are Alistair Trombley-Birchall, 2 points. Tom Cashman, 3 points. Nikki Britton, 4 points. And also on 4 points is Tom Walker. Yes.
Yay.
Oh, that's stuff, excellent. Everyone.
Very
I love
close.
Being at the end.
Right.
It's only 2 points though, Al. You can get this back this round.
You're right.
This round is called Yeah, Nah, Yeah. In this round, each of you are given a fact about someone else on the panel. If you think it's true, you say yeah. If you think it's a lie, you say nah. A point if you get it correctly, a point to the person if the fact is true or not true if you're incorrect. So you can ask as many questions as you want. We're just seeing Demi walk around in the background. Is that why you're laughing?
Yeah, sorry, yes. Just trying to cover up my girlfriend's cool ass with my elbow. Wearing fucking jogger shorts and just wanted to... No.
All right, so to Nikki. When
get out!
When Al watched the Oprah Winfrey-approved self-help guide, The Secret, he 100% bought into it and believed that he could achieve anything just by believing it will happen. Yeah or nah? You can ask him as many questions as you want.
I know that you're quite an optimist, Alistair.
You know that about me.
Yeah. And I do believe that you would enjoy the ethereal-ness of The Secret.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go for it.
Yep.
What is the secret?
The secret is that if you want something, you just believe it and it will it will be attracted to you and then it will come and become real.
And so the woman who did it, she was this Australian kind of self-help person and she went on Oprah. Oprah was a big believer in this as well.
It's the secret person Aussie.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
Comic and TV writer Justin Kennedy was one of the actors in the actual movie of The Secret in terms of not the movie, but the actual video component of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that I've just bought into The Secret and I haven't asked you the very basic question that Tom Cashman asked you probably explains why I was catfished on a date on Monday.
That was spoken about before we were recording, Nikki, by the way. Just
yeah,
so you know,
sorry. But... Sorry, guys. Sorry.
That's
we'll
all right.
save that story for another podcast.
Yay.
And what is the lore of in The Secret?
What do you mean?
Like, what is the, like, natural law, in inverted commas, that they're exercising?
They're calling it the law of attraction.
Okay, yeah.
And they say that it's that the law, you believe it, it will come to you. Your mind shapes the universe.
It is. It does tend to be very privileged people who believe in the old, in The Secret.
Sure. And if you look at this curtain here with animals on it, it screams privilege.
You either know enough about it to have shit-canned it thoroughly, or maybe it caught you at a moment where you were like, yeah, this is what I need. I'm going to go, nah.
You are incorrect. It was true. Yes, he really did buy into it.
Wow. And I still do. It's great. It's how I get everything that I wanted.
My first instinct was so,
No, I don't. Wow. I don't really still believe in it, but I don't know. It did catch me at a moment where I was like, oh, yeah, the world is very malleable with our minds.
I mean, we've all been caught at that moment.
There's some truth to it.
My wife's sister was really into it, and it was all just this positive thinking. And it's that thing a lot where if you think positively about the world, maybe you might feel a bit better about yourself, which I understand. But when you're going, oh, no, good things will happen to you if you just wish them into existence, that's when I'm like, that's bullshit. But when I was watching it, I was like, well, I know the actor who's doing this and I know that he's not that successful. At the minute, he went on to be great. But like, I'm not buying this. If it's Justin Kennedy doing it, I'm not buying it. Not at all.
Yeah, and but also like now I've been reading a book about physics and the kind of stuff that they're talking about in that with information theory and all that kind of garbage but it's not garbage, but it's science. But the idea that the universe is that we see is kind of is an interpretation by our brains and that kind of stuff. There is some parts of truth, and that's kind of how the whole thing got given. Some kind of validity, but magic isn't real. That was the only part.
Yeah.
My argument.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, sorry. My argument.
Oh no,
this...
Oh yeah. Classic Zoom.
My argument for the secret. I refuse. No, you go.
Should I go?
You go. I'm muting my microphone, Nikki. Unless you don't want to.
I can't remember what I
what were you going to say, Tom Walker?
I was just going to say that my case for The Secret is that we found a copy in my grandmother's house, and I think that's a ringing endorsement for it, because in her last days she opted for a peaceful death by euthanasia.
She willed it, nice. And it came true.
Exactly. She longed for death. And there you have it.
And she manifested that. She manifested a peaceful death.
Well, yes, indeed.
So, ATB, I mean, you get the point there. Okay, so now, Tom Walker, one day was at the gym when a man he had never met, never spoken to, came over to him and placed his hands under Tom's armpits and lifted him up into the pull-up position. Yeah or nah?
Who's
this? This is to ATV. It's to you, Al.
Oh, right.
It's about Tom Walker.
A man. In the gym.
Yes, in the gym.
Came and what, you were just, wait, and he was laying on the floor?
No, I was hanging on the pull-up bar. I was at the end of a set, struggling with my last rep, and this man came up from behind me, who I'd never seen before, and just lifted me up to the bar like a helpful dad.
Yeah. That's good. And just
did you manifest him? did you in your mind request help?
I think at that point there was nothing I wanted in the world less than to be touched. But then
It can work like that as well. The law of attraction, you know?
Kind of like your grandmother's attitude towards life.
Yeah. Did you have any interaction with him afterwards once your eyes met?
Once I came down, because I didn't turn around while I was doing it. I was just like, what is happening? And then came back down and turned around. And he was just like, I was kind of baffled by it. And I said, oh, thanks. And he said, no worries. Those last ones are hard. And I was like, yeah, but, and then he walked away.
Yeah, that's nice. I mean, I love that kind of human interaction, you know?
Did he see himself as quite the hero in this moment? Like, was he like, yeah, go on, scamp.
He was so assured. He was incredibly muscly, and I think this may play a role in it, about 5'2". So he was like a full foot shorter than me, but built like a gymnast, like just one of the widest men you've ever seen, tapering to an almost infinitesimal point. It was crazy.
And his arms were able to reach when your shoulders were reaching the bar?
Yeah.
Yeah? Oh,
he just hooked me up there.
Did it tickle?
No, weirdly.
No?
I think I was too shocked by the sensation for it to tickle. It couldn't register that it was a person touching me. It was just like I'd been lifted up by a wind.
Or like an angel.
Yeah.
I mean,
this guy had wings on him. The lats were out to here.
What do you think, Al?
My guess, I'm just going to say it's... I mean, look, it's such a weird story to not be true, but I'm going to say that it is not true.
You are incorrect. It is true. A point there for Tom Walker. Yes.
It is true. And in point of fact, I never saw the man again.
I think one day he'll appear in your life and he'll need help.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe a thorn in his paw.
Although I think every gym just should employ the gym dad. Just the guy who just walks around just... lifts you off the bar when you need it.
Hey there, slugger.
Yeah. Just stands in the doorway, just going, oh, what's going on today? Oh, you're doing arms today. Okay, good on. Looks good. All right. And just walks away.
Sure, I'm involved somehow.
Yeah. All right. So Tom Walker got a point there. Now, to Tom Walker, during a job interview, Tom Cashman's stomach made a weird gurgling noise. It was so loud, the interviewer made a face. Tom ignored it, but 20 seconds later, his stomach made another noise and the interviewer made another face. Tom reassured the interviewer that it was just his stomach and nothing else. The interviewer said, I know, but let's keep it professional, shall we? And Tom, to this day, still has no idea what they meant by that. Yeah or nah?
I mean, even without the... I'll go through the questions for the sake of it, but immediately this is a yeah from me. Cashman, what job were you interviewing for?
It was, for
was there an opening at the dick sucking factory? Or?
That's insulting. I think he's accusing me of nepotism because you know my dad works there. No, it was for. it was for like a. It was an interview for an internship at a law firm. I was in second last year of uni.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a fancy boardroom situation with like two lawyers and one HR woman across in like big fancy leather chairs.
Did you get the position?
Nah.
And can you do?
But thankfully, my dad hooked me up at where he works.
Yeah, I've got an unpaid internship at the dick sucking factory. Yeah, yeah. The hours aren't great, but the perks are bellissimo.
I mean, they call me a casual, but it's not very. It's pretty intense.
Okay, cool. Can you do a rendition of the sounds? Either of them.
Look, it was, I mean, the first one was your normal verging on loud, just but a bit kind of, the issue is it sounds a bit like a fart. Yep. And then the second one was louder. And like they noticed it, like at least one of them went like not judgmentally, but kind of went kind of, I would describe the face as lol. Because I think the dynamic of those interviews as well is often there's one senior lawyer who doesn't care about it at all and is kind of dragged into them. So I think that was the guy who was kind of, who was reacting. And then the second one was louder. And then I just felt like it needed clarification. But I think they disagreed.
So they thought it was a fart.
No, I don't think they did. But I think they didn't. I thought that was potentially the case. So I thought it would be right to clarify. I think they were like.
Were you wearing pants?
Was I wearing pants? Great question.
Yeah.
Particularly in this COVID era.
Is that where they were like, well, let's keep this professional? And you're like, too late.
Yeah. To prove it wasn't a fart, he was unbuckling his belt and showing his bum.
I can show you. Seriously, when I fart, you can see physical evidence. So you'll know that there's no actual.
No skinnies.
Exactly.
This is legit.
All right.
They just thought it was like the sound effect of like. I'm sorry, but like getting an erection, like as though it was like,
yeah.
Imagine
if. Oh
my yes. God. Let's keep this professional. Again.
There's so many things wrong with that, Nikki.
it's the sound of all the blood burbling to the front of the penis.
It's like when you're a kid and you've got a ruler on the desk going, ding, 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 ding. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
I guess if the blood's going there fast enough that you could hear the wave crash.
Yeah.
It's like a gush. Hits the sandbar there.
It like hits the tip. It just whooshes into the tip and then just goes back into the balls and swishes around.
You hear the little bubbles popping afterwards.
Guys, I went to medical school, okay?
I'm like, where do I see myself in 5 years? More like, where do I see myself in 5 minutes? I love you.
Do you mean having sex with them?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. With like Stiffy that you're implying.
Jizzing on the bottom of the desk.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a yes from me.
You think it's a yeah?
Yeah.
It was not a true story. Yeah, I made it up about Tom.
Cannot believe
it. Very good. That was well
Great
done, Josh.
Lying,
well, it's based on a true story though, but not the tummy noises. What happened?
Well, I mean, the real situation which I was drawing upon in my lies was worse, I reckon. and occurred
but
in those.
You didn't wear pants. You went to an interview and you didn't wear pants, and then you shat on a chair.
No,
the real
wasn't quite
story.
That bad.
I was
I was in the interview, and then my phone went off, and I got a message, and I hadn't put my phone on silent, so there was a beep, which is a bit unprofessional, not a big deal, but it went off, and then I realized. That at the time my phone settings would beep again in 2 minutes if I didn't put it on silent. So I had 2 minutes to kind of, and I hadn't acknowledged it when it happened. So I'd continue to answer questions and not acknowledge it and try to like subtly, and like on the Zoom is actually a good example of what I was trying to do, not move my shoulder too much to get into my pocket of this suit that I'd never worn before. And then like tried to get it out without moving and put it on silent and then put it behind me. And then like on the leather chair. And then, but then towards the end of the interview, I remember thinking that I need to make sure that like it's genuine when I find the phone, because it can't look like that was all a plan. So I need to kind of be like, would you look at that? Look at my phone. You know what I mean? In quite a, like an organic way. So I kind of had that prepared already. And then when we stood up after the interview, I shook everyone's hand and then did my prepared like, oh, would you look at that? My phone on the chair. But as I did it, I was like, oh, would you look at that? I looked down at the leather seat and there was just like a huge patch of sweat in the shape of my ass, like so much sweat, clearly in the shape of my ass. And I've just been like, ta-da, would everyone in the room please look at that? And they would look at me like, why would you point that out? Why?
Also, you fucked the phone idea so badly by leading with, oh, would you look at that, before you'd looked at it.
And the phone was kind of up on the side of this big chair and black, the same color. So they couldn't see that. Like, they thought it was just pointing at the
And also,
the
when, before when you were showing us how you were trying to maneuvering the phone out of your pocket, it did look like you were, would have been playing with yourself or
now
readjusting yourself.
The first time I've tried it, like, yeah. Of course they would have known what happened. They heard the beep. And then I went back in to shake their hands as well. That's the last detail I remembered after I just had.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I remember, yeah, it's always very easy to tell what someone's trying to hide when they're sitting down. Like, I remember a friend of mine who teaches primary school was just like, man, the kids think you can't tell when they're farting.
Yeah.
But they just lean at like a 30 degree angle. And then just lean backwards. Oh, got away with it.
All right, maybe lean to the other side afterwards just to
air it out.
A point there for Tom. Now, Tom Walker that was. Now, to Tom Cashman. Nikki was once on a date when they were walking hand in hand down the street when Nikki slipped and pulled the guy to the ground. The guy went down easy, and when they stood up, they both had the remnants of a dead pigeon on their clothes. That was the last date they ever had with each other. Yeah or nah?
Jesus Christ. Firstly, I'd like to clarify that I got the point in the last round, not Tom Walker. So just if that could be rectified, that would be fantastic. But now moving on to the question at hand. How did you meet this boy, Nikki?
We were out drunk. We just met at a bar. It was like back in the day before dating apps. And then that was the first date and the last date we went on.
And then what happened after the dead bird situation? So you fall, you both have dead bird on you.
Yeah. Well, we didn't realize it was dead bird at the time. You thought it was like an old kebab someone had dropped on the pavement or something.
Oh no, someone got bad. A big rat.
Yeah.
But then I saw feathers on his back and I was like, oh, don't say anything, because like I'd pulled him into it, so I was I didn't want to take responsibility. And then he ended up seeing feathers like on my hip where I'd fallen, and he was like, oh, I don't that looks, there's gray feathers on you. And we kind of both came to the conclusion that looked behind us and there was sort of like a leg and like half a head behind us. And we were like, oh no. So, yeah.
and then what? Did you, like, part ways then?
It was, like, I'm pretty good at, like, oh, well, let's laugh it off. No judgment here. But it was really hard to laugh that off.
So he was real serious about it.
Well, it was just, like, I mean, like, either we just murdered a sleeping pigeon and I'd like made him an accomplice.
A much better story.
I'd made him an accomplice to the death of a sleepy pigeon. Like it smelt. It was not
you went back to
sexy.
Smell it.
It was emanating. It was emanating. And then I was panicking and I was getting hotter and then the smell is coming up. I'm not, you know, this is very on brand for me.
Just out of curiosity, what I love people who fall over. What caused you to fall over?
Just
love your work. Alistair checking in here. Sorry. Big fan, long time.
First question.
Love falling over.
I think Demi said earlier, I don't know anyone in the business who has hurt their feet and legs more than you. I'm often in a moon boot. People have stopped asking why. They're like, oh yeah, she's down again. So yeah, I was wearing not a really high heel, but like a semi heel, and it was maybe the pavement was a bit wet. I just remember like the world went from underneath me.
Was there blood?
It wasn't really blood. It was just like goo, you know, like it was almost like tree sap by that point. It was like, yeah.
Oh my god.
So what do you think, Cashman? Yeah.
Or can I ask one more question of like when you fell? Was it cute and fun at the time and then you realized dead pigeon? Was it like flirty on the ground? 100%. Like, oh, you fell on me.
100%.
Really?
I tried to sell the tits off it. I tried to be like,
ooh. You did the rom-com thing where he landed on top of you and you're like, oh, we must stop meeting like the dead bird.
Totally.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's just got a wing embedded in his cheek.
I wish I had my ukulele here to just play you a tune while we're here on the pavement. You know, like classic quirky girl.
Oh, these feathers, they're just angel wings. Oh.
No, there's been an avian murder here.
Oh, my and... God.
Was there any, like, consumption of anything afterwards? Like, had you guys already eaten? Or
we'd already eaten.
Okay.
And he was walking me to my car.
Okay.
You were about to drive.
Oh,
yeah,
Nikki.
I had to get into my car. Oh, I mean, we brushed it off a bit, but we didn't.
Having two beers and then killing pigeons.
But it was like I didn't have anything to get it off me with in the car or anything. So, you know, like if you step in dog shit and you've got nothing and you just wipe it on the grass?
Yeah.
I considered just getting on the ground and just like, but I took my jacket off and I just like was dragging my jacket along the grass trying to get off a dead pigeon. I don't know why he didn't call me back.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds just like a tragedy now.
Now what do you think, Thomas Cashman?
I'm gonna be ballsy and say lie.
You are correct. Yes, a point there for Tom Cashman, yes.
You're good, Tom Cashman.
Good line there, Nikki.
Yeah.
Thanks, mate.
Put a lot in there.
It was very similar. Go on, Josh Earl.
No, I was gonna say you sent me a story that was similar, so
yeah, it was similar. Actually, it was someone that I'd been seeing for a few months and he dropped me off after a date and I was like, cool, well, you know, maybe we'll see each other again. You know, like very much planning to see as next time we're going to bang. And then I stepped out of the car into the gutter and there was an already deceased pigeon in the gutter, but I stepped into that pigeon with a high heel that was much higher than the one I've just described. It was like a stiletto. And so it pierced through like a skewer going through meat. And I was like, cool, so I'll see you later. Crunched through the rib cage of a pigeon. I'm a vegetarian. Like it was very confronting for me. And he like, my face must have just been like, And he was like, are you okay? And then I just went, and held my foot up to reveal
a
dead pigeon dangling off. And he was like, oh, good luck. And then we just never saw each other again.
Fuck.
Wow. At least because you removed one of its ribs, the pigeon could suck its own dick.
Died happy. Dad, real happy.
At the end of that round, the scores are Alistair Trombley-Birchall, 3 points. Nikki Britton, 4 points. Tom Cashman, 5 points. And also on 5 points is Tom Walker.
Woo!
It's very close. It hasn't been this close in a long, long time. It's good. All right, this is our final round. It's called Who, 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 Who. In this round, I'll read out 10 questions about you four. If you think you know who it is, say your name and then answer. You get a point if you get it right, a point off if you get it wrong. On your round, you lose points. You can't buzz in for your own ones. Here we go. Who, for their 21st birthday, was given a sex toy with their name engraved on it?
Alistair.
Yes, Alistair.
Nikki?
No, it was Tom Walker, a point off Alistair there. Yeah.
That was tough. Thank you to the comedian Michael Hing for that wonderful gift. It cost a whole friend group approximately $400 all up because they put it. It was a fleshlight, which is a pocket vagina that resembles.
We know
a
what it is.
But it was delivered to me in a giant box labeled Tom's Box of Torches, amid like 20 other small torches. Once again, a hearty fuck you to Michael Hing.
Question two. Who made a file on their computer listing when all their friends added a rainbow filter to their Facebook profile pic and then when
Tom
they
Walker.
Took it off? Yes, Tom
Nikki
Walker.
Britton!
Yes, Tom Walker.
Mean, that's Cashman, baby.
You are correct, yes.
Who made a file on their computer listing? That's Cashman. That's got Cashman all over it.
So why have you done this, Tom?
Oh, I mean, it was back in the day when the marriage equality debate had started up.
Yes.
And the Facebook filter with a rainbow had been introduced on Facebook. And I don't know. I just know it actually wasn't all my friends. It was every comedian. Because it was just interesting to me that some did and some didn't. And like, it was just a new social thing to navigate. And then, but some people were changing it back quite quickly. And some people not. And it would just, I thought it would be interesting to see that visualized.
One of the guests.
If you just record it every few days and then put it into a graph.
I feel like, Josh, you were about to say what I was about to say.
Yeah.
I've still got the rainbow filter.
Well, that's the thing. I stopped recording at some stage, but some people are fucking committed.
I'm in there, man. I'm in there.
I think a lot of people used it to pivot to a new, hotter profile picture. But then some people just stuck with it. And then I don't know if you remember, there was a terrorist attack
in France,
which threw a spanner into the works. Some people jumped right over to the French flag.
Yep.
Some people still have the French flag.
That's mental.
to be Je suis Charlie in 2020 is insane.
I think I still.
I've still got a Coney one on mine, so I don't know.
I remember somebody still having a green filter in support of the Arab Spring.
Wow.
I actually have a thing where I've added dog ears to my profile picture in support of our brave freedom fighters in Yemen, along with a beautiful tongue that activates when I open my mouth. And also I've given myself big honking titties.
Like you've missed that there needs to be some sort of correlation between what you implement on your social media profile and the disaster at hand.
Oh, why don't you go make a graph about it, computer boy?
Sorry, Tom, it wasn't clear from your thing. Were you feeling positive or negative towards the people who had rainbow flags?
Well, that's exactly what I is deliberately ambiguous. I make no judgments at all. I just record the data and I present it for people to argue about in the comments. I just measured it. I didn't say anything.
It's clear information, Tom Cashman.
Question,
the puppet master.
Question three. Who stole back their sister's stolen car?
Alistair.
Yes, Alistair.
But Tom?
No, that was Nicky Britton, a point of how.
Okay, God. Well, and he was trying to cheat the system.
I mean,
there,
yeah,
car,
that's... Two out of three.
It's a 66.6 chance.
How did you know?
Yeah,
how
I
did. You know where it was?
Well, my sister had this like bright canary yellow V-dub bug car, like obnoxious. I was like, oh, every time we drove around in it. But she loved it. It was her thing. And it got stolen from out, like in our driveway in the middle of the night. And she was heartbroken. It was like her first car. She was 20-something. And a few days went by and the police were like, yep, we'll, you know, keep an eye out for it. And they said, oh, we found it in a suburb about an hour away from where we lived. You guys still have a key, like you've got the key. Just go over and get it.
Did they call? Was this a Sunday? Were they not working? Did they? Oh, I can't be fucked going in on a Sunday.
We were very confused. And my best friend and I went with my mum because I was only on my P's. I'd only just got my license, and I was going to have to be driving a getaway car while mum took the buggy or Beetle, and my friend and I drove the Hyundai XL. So we went in. It was in a garage. In like a very intimidating set of sort of concrete units. And like this car was hotted up, so it had a very loud engine. And mum, who had quit smoking several years earlier, just lit up about five in a row around the corner. We parked around the corner and mum like galvanized herself, smoked five cigarettes, and then we were like, let's do this. And we started the engine and fucking fanged it out of this car park. I had no idea that's how it happened. I don't know if that happens with every stolen car. I don't know if that's regular protocol, but that's how they did it that day.
A friend of mine got his car stolen, and he was very close to selling it anyway. So he got all the insurance back on it. And then one day he was walking and saw it just parked in the street and was like, oh, I'm a week away from getting that insurance money in. I'm just going to leave it. And just so didn't call it in. Just went, oh, fuck it. I'll have more money this way than if I was going to sell it like and buy a new car. So, yeah.
Great. That's a win.
All right. Next question. Here we go. Who auditioned for the Book of Mormon? Who auditioned for the play or the musical, The Book of Mormon?
Cashman.
Yes, Nicky Tom. Bruno. Yes, Tom Cashman.
Tom Walker.
No, it was Alistair Trombley Birchall. Point off Cashman there.
Good stuff.
I got offered an audition with no musical training whatsoever. Like I've never shown that I have any kind of musical ability at all.
You're a real song and dance man, ATB.
And I showed up at this place, and everybody was just beautiful, limber, musical theater people. I'd been sent my two songs and I'd like practiced my heart out.
Oh, no.
I really tried.
Oh, jeez.
And then I went in there and I was like, fuck, I hope that, you know, I don't know if the South Park guys were going to be there, but I had an accompaniment. One of the ladies got up and did this with me. And was like helping me. I don't know. I didn't realize that I looked like I needed that much help. But instead of doing this, anyway, and I remember just walking out and just sort of like being like, the way that everybody's looking at me, I'm like, oh, they could hear my audition through this thing. I was like, oh, just take this one as a, just doesn't matter. It's a lottery ticket.
You should have spent less time auditioning and more time doing those affirmations.
Yeah.
From the secret and manifested that job.
It would have goddamn worked too.
Or you should have kept your affirmations more specific rather than just wanting the audition itself.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. I want to meet Cartman.
I'm a huge fan of his work. He says whatever.
Cartman going to be here?
Next question. Who got into comedy because their school had theatre sports down as an option on sports day and this person hated playing sport?
Nicky Britton.
Yes, Nicky.
Tom Walker.
You are correct. Yes, point there for Nicky Britton. Yes.
Nice.
Was it down as a like a mistake for sports day? Is that what you're saying?
It wasn't actually even sports day. It was a year-round sport. So it was to get out of rugby, I did theatre sports. But then the guy who was teaching us theatre sports, this is like way before improv was like, you know, UCB or like, you know, kind of an agreed upon form. And so when he ran out of like improv and theater sports stuff to teach us, he would be like, all right, well, let's learn how to juggle. And also I'm going to bring in some metho and we can breathe fire. And it was like, this surely can't be what the parents have signed us up for. Because like, it was just, I don't know if you've ever breathed fire, but it's just putting metho in your mouth and then spitting it at an open flame. And that means that for like 2 days, you just have meth mouth. Like you cannot taste a thing.
You're supposed to have milk before it or something, aren't you, to coat
apparently
your
the budget didn't stretch to milk. I don't know what to tell you. Because it was just metho all the way down.
Question six. Who once flew to another city to tell someone they loved them only to end up comforting this person's ex?
Tom Walker. Cashman.
Yes, Tom Walker.
That will be Nicky Britton.
You are correct. Yes, that is Nicky Britton.
Yep. Any kind of heartbreak, especially a domestic or international flight.
It's happened more than once.
Yeah,
it's true.
Because last time you were on the show, you talked about flying to Perth and the guy stealing your wallet.
That story.
Yes.
This time it was not. This was an international flight.
Yeah, this was to LA.
Fuck, man.
Oh my God.
No, it was like, I'm really good friends with his ex now. We're friends. So it kind of all worked out.
But you were saying you didn't know who she was, though.
No, I literally met her at, like, I'd seen my friend who I loved, and I hadn't told him yet. And he was describing his recent relationship and how it had broken down and everything. And then I was out with different friends at a club on the other side of the city, and I got talking to like a friend of a friend, and I was like, oh, hi, how are you? And she's like, oh, I'm just trying to like, drink and dance and forget everything. I broke up with someone this week. And I was like, oh, that's a shame. You know, what happened? And she described exactly the story that my friend had described. And I was like, what's his name? And it was my friend's name. And I was like, oh no. And I'd been like drilling her for details so much to be like, is this actually fucking happening? That like, I'd obviously picked the scab, and by this point she was crying in the club. So I was like rubbing her back going, don't worry, mate, that's okay.
Were you kind of trying to just go, yeah, don't, he's not worth it, just leave him in the past? Is that, you kind of...
He's not worth it. You wouldn't fly across the world for him. Oh, yucko.
Oh, my God.
Speaking... Did you hook up with him, though?
Anyway.
Oh, yeah, that was a good question. Did you?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't. But...
Would have been a great time for a threesome. That would have been like just all three.
Yeah.
Just like
yeah.
for something emotional, you know what I mean? Like something memorable.
An emotional threesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, next question. Speaking of dates, who once had a date cancel on them, saying they were sick, only to see on their Insta stories 5 minutes later they were dancing on a table?
Nikki Britton.
Yes, Nikki.
Oh, it's Cashman or it's Birchall. I'm going to go with Birchall.
You are
Cashman.
Which
Cashman. I'm going with Cashman.
You are correct. It was Tom Cashman. Yes. With Nikki, yes.
Sorry, it was a Zoom delay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like Cashman, if someone tells Cashman something, he's going back and checking up on them. He's making
a little graph.
I didn't even look deliberately. I just felt like it was like the third date. I think it was the last, I don't think it happened again. And she had this big sob story about being really sick. And then legit, like her in a house with her housemates, just like... I've never seen someone express so much glee.
Yeah, bold move to put it on Insta stories as well, straight away. Yeah. Like,
it's almost like she had no respect for me at all.
Oh, dancing on the table, Tom, that's right up your alley. You love those things. Inputting data into them. All right, that's from me.
A table.
Question 8. Who got out of handing in an assignment for uni by telling their lecturer they were mentally unwell and then crying in front of them?
Alistair.
Yes, ATV.
Is that Tom Cashman?
No, that's you, you dipshit. You told me this story. You get a point off.
All right.
Is that a first?
No, it's happened before. But
I didn't tell you this time, so I was like, oh, that does sound like me, but I'm glad that there are other losers like me out there.
I swear you told me that this time. Did we talk about this last time? It did sound familiar, but that's all right.
Yeah, no.
That's all right.
I did do that. It was a... I was like, oh, this seems to work for people. Let me see if I can do it. But then it's like, once you actually start playing sad in front of a person, you kind of have to commit, and then you get really sad.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, shit, I'm actually crying. All right, this is cool. And then, so that was it.
And then you start smiling because you're like, oh, I'm an actor. I'm going to summon this.
I'm going to audition for something.
Yeah, Book of Mormon, here I come.
Exactly.
And our last question for the game, who here was almost arrested for complimenting a police officer?
Cashman.
Yes, Tom Cashman.
Tom Walker.
No, that was Nikki Britton, a point off Tom Cashman there, yes. What was the compliment?
Yeah, it was in London, and the cops over there are a little bit tetchy. They're a bit more kind of over here. We're like, hey, mate, come on, don't do that. But I didn't realise they were kind of pretty tetchy.
Yep.
It's a bad word, but I've lost all my words because I haven't worked in 2 months.
What year? What year are we talking? What year?
2012.
Okay.
I reckon.
So and, post the London bombings, yeah, I wonder why they're a bit tetchy.
Yeah.
What did you say to the cop?
Well, we had been out drinking and we were in a kebab
with the cop.
Shop. No, not with the cop. We were in a kebab shop and I, like, maybe you guys have seen me drunk, but I am dangerously friendly. And I looked at this cop and I realise now the compliment probably didn't sound like a compliment. But she looked a lot like Dobby the house elf from Harry Potter. And I truly find Dobby, like, delightful. So,
I truly
like,
find
the,
Dobby delightful.
The loyalty.
I truly find
the loyalty,
delightful.
The integrity. You know, it in my drunk head, being called Dobby would have been the sweetest compliment anyone could receive.
Mm.
And I gazed in awe at this police officer and sort of said, wow. You look like Dobby. Just sort of under my breath. I didn't really think that she would hear it. And she said, what do you call me? And I said, oh, she, did you call me Gobby? And over there, Gobby means like, you chatty fuck, whatever. Or, I mean, I'm sure there's British people that are going
to
be like, not
as quite. Opposed to the big compliment.
Not a direct translation.
As it is here.
Gobby.
Yeah.
Look like the physical act of.
So, but obvious, I don't know, like over here, to give gobbies is to give someone a head job. And I thought she was asking if I told her that she looked like a head job. And so she said, did you call me Gobby? And I said, oh, no, no. Like genuinely, just authentically, like absolutely no. I called you and then my friend grabbed me and we ran. So but she was very angry with me.
I just quickly typed in Dobby physical description into Google. He had a large tennis ball-like green eyes, a pencil-like nose, and long bat-like pointed ears. He also wore a pillowcase and was a scrawny little freak.
Yeah, that's her. That's her to a T.
If she looked like that.
But very loyal. Loyal. Yeah.
If she looked like that and was an English police officer, that would be like Bobby the house elf. She'd get that all the time. Like, yeah.
To be honest, though, I have looked into the policing codes in London, and policemen actually are set free if you give them a sock. Have to stop being police officers.
That's sweet.
At the end of the game, the final scores are Alistair Trombley-Birchall on 0 points.
You know what? I deserve that.
Tom Cashman on 3 points. Ow. Nikki Britton on 6 points, but our winner on 7 points with the help of his girlfriend, it's Tom Walker. Yay!
Yes, woo. Good stuff. Tom
won. We won.
Hey, because you win, Tom, you can plug whatever it is you want to plug first. Now, you and Demi have a podcast together.
We do indeed. It's called BigSoftTitty.png. It's all one word, and it's absolutely fucked. It's a really strange one. We're currently doing a thing where listeners send in segments, like they send in a theme song, and we just do the segment. So this week's segment was latest advancements in sex bot technology. So we've just kind of learned up on that a bunch. And I've got a special out on Amazon Prime. It's called Very Very, and it's I'm really proud of it. It's good.
Yes.
Go check it out if you've got Amazon Prime.
And I was telling you this off air, the ad came on TV the other night when my kids were watching TV, and so now what they do around the house is pretend to kick a dog and say, who cares, like you do. So it's
hell
very
yeah,
cute.
Dude.
It's very good.
If maybe don't show them the full thing because, spoiler warning, it does have a 3-minute scene of me sucking my own dick in mine.
He really removed a rib.
Hey, Nikki, where can people see or hear you?
They can see me eating baked goods in my kitchen mostly. But also on the Australian Lockdown Comedy Festival, streaming now on Stan.
Hashtag Lockdown Comedy Festival. Those fucking emails they send you, dude. Oh my God. The hashtags.
I'm grateful for the work.
We love the work. We love the work.
Stan's listening. I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful. It's just a lot of promo. Hashtag promo. Hashtag Stan Originals. Hashtag streaming now on Stan. So that is a lot of fun. And there's wonderful people also doing that, like Tom Walker and Demi Lardner. And some great people. My last year's comedy festival show called Once Bitten is being made into a podcast.
Great.
That's going to be available on ABC in July.
Awesome.
And also at Home Alone Together is a sketch show on the ABC that has been created in lockdown, about lockdown, and I've got a little sketch coming up on that.
Awesome. Great. Thank you. Tom Cashman, where can people find you?
I've started a podcast during lockdown with my friend Sam Taunton. So listen to that. The last two guests were Nikki Britton, and the one before that was Tom Walker. So hey! If you like this, it's gracious. Double down.
Awesome. And Alistair Trombley-Birchall.
Hello. I have podcasts. Stupid old. No, wait. Two in the Think Tank is one of them with Andy Matthews. I got Shusher Guided Meditations, which is my silly guided meditation thing. And I think eventually our show from last year, Magma, will be available at Stupid Old Studios, which we recorded a couple of weeks ago and should be out next week or something like that. So
great.
That's about it.
Awesome.
I'm so excited to see that, Alistair. I'm sorry, Josh. I'm really excited to see that. I missed it during Comedy Festival.
That's great. I look forward to watching yours as well. And also, I enjoy your tweets.
Hey, everyone, if you are a Patreon subscriber, my brand new podcast, Patreon Only, Top 5 every Monday. So this Monday is with Claire Hagen. Next Monday is with Kyron Wheatley, where we count down the top 5 things to do with potatoes. It's very, very funny, okay? Very, very good. If you're $5 or more, you get one every single week. So go to patreon.com/DYKWIA. Hey, thanks everyone for doing this. This was heaps of fun. Thanks for that. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.